Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, April 25th, 2025. We turn first to page one, where the main story is about healthcare, titled Music Helps Heal So Many Levels. Carl Broman Volunteer Soothes Patients Through Song. This story is datelined Normal. On any given day, people walking through the main level of the atrium lobby at Carl Broman Medical Center can hear country music classics from Patsy Cline or even songs from The Sound of Music. What first seems like it's playing over a speaker system is actually coming from one voice on the second floor walkway. It's been medically proven that music can help with pain, anxiety, stress, and the healing process, said Darla Glover, a professionally trained opera singer and volunteer at Carl Broman in Normal. I feel like I'm a vessel and God gives me the strength to do this, and music is a very powerful tool. Volunteer services at Carl Broman are as diverse as the patients they support, whether it's providing directions, greeting visitors, bringing a pet, lending an ear, or singing a song. Volunteers offer positive reassurance and support to patients. From April 20 through April 26, which is National Volunteer Week, the hospital is celebrating the impact these individuals have. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities here, said Sue Sebring, manager of volunteer services at Carl Broman. In fact, all of our volunteers are in 51 different departments. People think that it's just escorting people that are very visible, but they are in almost every department of the hospital. Sebring said the hospital has about 558 volunteers, ranging from high school and college students to adults and retirees, who together total over 56,000 hours in 1 year. Volunteers will receive a small gift and an invitation to a Mary Poppins-themed dinner and celebration on May 6th. Volunteers can start at age 14, and we currently have some who's 94, so there is no end to the time that somebody can spend here, Sebring said. As for Glover, she can be found in various departments of the hospital throughout the day, and when patients ask for her, she always finds a way to make time for them. Altogether, she spends about 25 hours per week volunteering at Carl Broman, and also volunteers about 8 hours per week at locations outside the Carl Health System. Glover trained as an opera singer at Bradley University in Peoria, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and King's College at the Royal Academy of Music in England, and has a repertoire ranging from gospel hymns to heavy metal and rock. I just felt a calling to help because I felt there was opportunity and it was something that I needed to do, said Glover, who was originally from Washington and Tazewell County. It's just amazing how it's unfolding, and all these different departments like behavioral health and people in oncology getting infusions. Of her singing appearances, she said, "It depends on the situation or what they want. Sometimes it could be 10 minutes and sometimes maybe 2 hours." Glover said she started singing for patients years ago when she was asked to sing at a nursing home in California. She then began offering her voice to people in other nursing homes, memory care, assisted living, and hospice care. She started singing at Carl Broman in February, and after her first day in the cardiovascular care unit, people from other departments began asking her to visit and share her voice. Glover has since been able to help patients calm down while waiting for procedures and to comfort hospice patients and their family members as they spend their last minutes together. "I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're 80 or 90. Anyone can do this, and it's really needed," Glover said. "Even, say, music students who might be thinking about getting into music therapy or in a healthcare setting, coming in here and volunteering and getting to see what music can do and how it can help people in so many levels in the healing process." Acute rehabilitation patient Mary Sigler of Leroy, who was admitted to Carl Broman after her back surgery, said Glover's voice is one of the best she has ever heard. It's tremendous. It helps with the pain and in my spirits and relaxes me. I have music going here all the time, almost since it helps me get to sleep, Sigler said. Ballads and instrumentals are also very calming, but the voice is the most perfect instrument. Sigler, who graduated from Illinois State University in music education, was a music teacher in the Leroy school system for over 30 years, where she directed many musicals at all grade levels. Sigler recently requested the song There Was You from The Music Man and even harmonized with Glover as they sang in her room, with the notes flowing out to the rest of the floor. Shay Whittle, a registered nurse in cardiovascular care and progressive care units at Carl Broman, said she first met Glover while transitioning over to the day shift, and they decided to sing in the hallway together so that all of the patients and staff on the floor could experience the music together. It definitely brings a smile to their faces, and I think it allows patients to feel like they're more than just a patient in a hospital, Whittle said. They still have needs outside of physical needs, and a lot of those needs come from mental and emotional places, and the fact that we're able to still provide for those needs is what I love about our entire volunteer program. She added, it's amazing how sometimes there's nurses that don't know that Glover is here, and you can just hear her from down the hallway, and it suddenly gets so quiet and everyone just wants to listen. Whittle, who once served as a junior volunteer at Carl Broman, said she always wanted to become a nurse, and the volunteer program was a way to gain experience and realize it was indeed the career path she wanted to pursue. Everyone has a gift, Whittle said. I've seen magicians, singers, musicians, and people with dogs who come in. If you have the heart for volunteering and you want to give back to this community, we will find a spot for you here. In addition to the hospital itself, volunteers can serve at the Carl Resale Boutique at 1322 South Main Street in Normal, the Carl Outpatient Center at 3024 East Empire Street in Bloomington, Carl McLean County Orthopedics at 1111 Trinity Lane in Bloomington, and the Carl Cancer Institute at 407 East Vernon Avenue in Normal. To learn more about volunteering, contact Sebring at 309-268-5397 or email sue.sebring@carl.com. And our next front page story is about Congress, titled Durbin's Departure Bittersweet for Some, Allies Laud Senator's Support for Region. This story is Dateline Decatur. It's good to have a friend in Washington. For Central Illinois government and community leaders who felt they'd found an ally in U.S. Senator Dick Durbin during his 40-plus years representing the state in Congress, news that the 80-year-old will not seek re-election next year was somewhat bittersweet. I just wish he would change his mind, said John Dunn, a former state lawmaker from Decatur, who represented parts of the region in the Illinois House from 1975 to 1995. He is a steadfast Democrat, and he had his head screwed on straight. He's been wonderful and will be very difficult to replace. I really think he was just the best there was. Normal Mayor Chris Koos said Durbin helped to secure funding for Uptown Station, roadway projects, Constitution Trail expansions, and other local priorities. He has also been a huge supporter of Rivian Automotive, which makes all of its electric vehicles in Normal, and was first to choose Koos for nomination and eventual confirmation to the Amtrak Board of Directors in 2024. I could not ask for a better partner at the federal level, Koos said. He has been an incredible supporter of what we are trying to accomplish here in Normal. About an hour to the south, Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf offered a similar sentiment. He truly cares about what happens here, she said. noting Durbin invited her to sit down for lunch once or twice a year, even as he gained more political power and seniority. "He just has an incredible grasp on our needs," she said, noting he had pushed for the community to receive federal support for commercial air service and a number of major transportation infrastructure projects. "He understands that we don't run to him with little things and that we're not asking for handouts. We are asking for help in building our own success story, and he has delivered." A number of Central Illinois local government and community leaders interviewed about Durbin's legacy made a point to emphasize his efforts to connect with downstate residents and overall character. "He never had a hint of scandal," said former mayor, Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, a political science professor at Illinois Wesleyan University. "He is the same guy he is when the door closes and when he is in public, just a wonderful guy and mentor." "Durbin's absence in Congress will be a great loss for sure," said John Penn, retired laborer and longtime advocate for McLean County. "He just hit the street running with great ideas for our state and cooperation with both parties," Penn said. "That cooperation brought respect for the senator from outside Cook County," he said. "When you look at a downstate senator from the state of Illinois and he's not coming from Chicago, it tells you how much respect they got for that young man," Penn said, noting Durbin is older than himself. Patrick Cortese, chair of the McLean County Democrats, recalled that Durbin approached him during a Springfield fundraiser early in Cortese's time as a local party leader. "I sat down by myself to eat my lunch, and Durbin walked up and said, 'Hey, is anybody sitting here?'" Cortese recalled Thursday, the day after Durbin's announcement that he would not seek a sixth term. "I was a brand new county chair," Cortese said. "That was so impressive to me that he would take the time to do that." That courtesy extended beyond Springfield. When Durbin visited McLean County for parades or events, he would arrive early and meet with as many people as he could, Cortese said. "It says something about his character," he said. "It says something about how he is as a person." Dennis Grundler, chairman of the McLean County Republican Party, thanked Durbin for his lengthy service in the Senate and said he was glad that he's going to enjoy retirement. The party chair also said he was glad that Durbin's retirement will be giving someone else the opportunity to lead the state. "Meeting with voters on a personal level was Durbin's secret sauce to success," said Carla Campbell Jackson, first vice president of the Bloomington Normal NAACP. "That certainly speaks for his character and his work," she said. "Throughout his career, Durbin has been steadfast and unmovable on the development of our young people because they are definitely our future and our present," Campbell Jackson said. Bloomington Normal NAACP President Linda Foster said the senator was always welcoming and willing to listen to constituents. "When he visited, he would do so without an agenda. He wanted to hear from us," she said. Like Campbell Jackson and Foster, longtime labor activist Mike Mateka noted Durbin always made himself available to the folks back home. As was the case with former Senator Paul Simon, Mateka said he always came away from interactions with Durbin having learned something new and gained a new insight into what is going on nationally and internationally. "The man has done incredible work, but at the same time, everyone has a spot where you deserve to live your life and not be on that schedule," said Mateka, a retired laborer from Leuna 362. "It's not just a title. He really wanted to connect people with what was going on with their government." Dunn, the former lawmaker from Decatur, said he also understands all politicians, however successful, have to know when it is time to take their final curtain call and make way for the next generation. "Age is the problem," he said, "and we have to respect that." And our last front page story is titled, "Stratton First to Declare Senate Run." This story is Dateline Springfield. The race to succeed retiring Senator Dick Durbin is officially on. Less than 24 hours after Durbin announced that he would not seek a sixth term, Illinois Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton declared her candidacy for his seat, placing her the first out the gate in what is expected to be a crowded Democratic primary. Stratton, in a two-minute campaign launch video, cast herself as an atypical candidate for atypical times, promising to throw out the old playbook while leaning into her record as Governor J.B. Pritzker's number two as a blueprint for what is possible. My journey to public service was inspired by serving as the primary caregiver for my mom when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, Stratton said, adding that then-Governor Bruce Rauner was trying to cut health care for seniors like her mother, which spurred her to run in a Democratic primary in 2016 against an incumbent who sided with the Republican governor on some key votes. Stratton, who has served alongside Pritzker since 2019, touted the administration's progressive legislative record, including increasing the minimum wage and enshrining abortion rights into law, among others. "They like to talk. We've actually gotten things done," Stratton said. "Now I'm running for Senate because the only way out of this mess is to bring new energy, new voices, and new leaders who understand the lives of working people." Stratton, a native of Chicago's South Side, is an attorney and restorative justice practitioner. In 1997, she founded JDS Mediation Services, a consulting group that provided negotiation and alternative resolution services. Later, she worked as a hearing officer and administrative law judge for the City of Chicago, managed the public safety portfolio for Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, and served as executive director of the Center for Public Safety at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Less than a year into her first term as a state legislator, Pritzker picked Stratton to be his running mate. Since taking office, Pritzker has tasked Stratton with spearheading the administration's criminal justice reform agenda, which covers a wide umbrella of programs, but generally seeks to shift the state's justice system away from punitive approaches toward restorative practices. She also took a lead role in forming and negotiating Pritzker's Birth Equity Initiative, which seeks to address a maternal mortality gap in which Black women are three times more likely to die during childbirth as white women. She also chairs various boards and commissions, including the Governor's Rural Affairs Council, the Rivers of Illinois Coordinating Council, and the Illinois Council on Women and Girls. Pritzker heaped praise on Stratton in an unrelated press conference Thursday morning, calling her one of the most accomplished people that's ever held the job of lieutenant governor. He added that he thinks very highly of her and believes that the voters will too, but stopped short of endorsing her. Stratton is the first, but most certainly not the last, candidate to jump into the race. Other possible candidates include U.S. Representative Robin Kelly, U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, U.S. Representative Lauren Underwood, and Treasurer Mike Frericks, among others. Political insiders have long pegged Krishnamoorthy as a likely candidate. The Schaumburg Democrat has more than $19 million in his campaign account and has been traveling the state over the past year. On Thursday, Krishnamoorthy was scheduled to make stops in Chicago, Logan County, and Urbana to highlight the impact of tariffs on small businesses and farmers. Kelly has represented portions of Chicago, the south suburbs, and downstate in Congress since 2013. She was scheduled to appear at a town hall on Thursday on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, which is the Republican Representative Mary Miller's district. Underwood, who has represented Chicago's western suburbs and exurbs in Congress since 2019, has long been viewed as a rising star in the party. Frericks has been the state's chief investment officer since 2015. The Gifford native previously represented parts of Champaign and Vermilion counties in the state Senate. He confirmed his interest in a statement Wednesday, saying that he is considering how I can continue to best serve the people of Illinois. And among Republicans, U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, Republican of Peoria, is giving the race a look. Most Democratic political operatives view Stratton as one of the frontrunners in an open primary alongside Krishnamoorthy. While Krishnamoorthy starts with a significant financial advantage, the flexibility of Stratton's current office frees up more time to campaign. She is also believed by many operatives to have the strongest relationship of any prospective candidate with Chicago's African-American community, perhaps the most important constituency in a Democratic primary. Stratton earlier this year founded her Level Up Federal Political Action Committee. She will have to sever ties with the PAC now that she is a candidate, but it can still raise and spend campaign dollars in support of her candidacy. A major wild card is whether Pritzker will endorse Stratton and, perhaps more importantly, financially back her candidacy. Stratton did pick up the endorsement of Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association, which promised to commit seven figures to support her campaign. And we turn now to some local and state news. Bloomington gets $2 million for downtown. This story is datelined Jacksonville. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday announced the awarding of more than two dozen state grants totaling $30 million for the revitalization of commercial corridors in downtown areas across the state, including $2 million for Bloomington. In total, $20 million was awarded through Rebuild Illinois Downtowns and Main Streets, a program that provides grants for construction, repair, and modernization of public infrastructure. And $10 million was awarded through the Research in Illinois to Spur Economic Recovery program, which funds everything from land acquisition for affordable housing to streetscape work to historic building renovations. For too long, our state government treated these towns across the state as a relic of the past, rather than a key part of our future, Pritzker said. Main streets and downtowns were losing their small businesses, in part because they needed upgrades and improvements that local governments sometimes could not afford. And if our towns and cities cannot succeed, well, neither can the state of Illinois. Pritzker said the programs are part of a broader strategy to reverse decades of neglect and broken promises at the state level. These are funds that will go directly into the lifeblood of our local economies, Pritzker said. The city of Bloomington was awarded a nearly $2 million grant to help fund its long-range Downtown for Everyone streetscape plan, which aims to make the Central Business District more pedestrian-friendly. The McLean County Regional Planning Commission received $250,000 to fund a housing coordinator position for 2 years. The Village of Flanagan received $895,361 to dredge the lagoon at the wastewater treatment facility. The City of East Moline received $2 million for efforts to transform 15th Street into an accessible, connected corridor that prioritizes spaces for pedestrians and businesses. The City of Nokomis received $330,000 for a downtown streetscape and beautification project that will add ADA sidewalks along West State Street from South Spruce Street to Pine. The City of Pena received $1.25 million to develop a downtown lot into an outdoor event space with seating and service or hookups for food trucks. The City of Effingham was awarded $373,500 for the purchase of a 2.6-acre site on Heritage Avenue to develop affordable workforce housing. And funding for the grants came from the Rebuild Illinois Capital Construction Program. And this story is headlined, Jury Convicts Man of Assaulting Minor. This story is datelined Bloomington. A Bloomington man charged with predatory criminal sexual assault was found guilty Wednesday following a McLean County jury trial. Anthony J. Love, 36, was charged in December 2023 with two counts of predatory criminal sexual assault, both Class X felonies, and attempted predatory criminal sexual assault of a victim younger than 13, a Class 1 felony. After a detention hearing in December 2023, Love was released and ordered not to have contact with anyone younger than 18. He has remained released since this hearing. In January of this year, Love was tried for his case, but the jury was unable to reach a decision after a two-day trial and nearly 14 hours of deliberation. The prosecution tried the case again, beginning arguments before Judge Jason Chambers on Monday after the 12-person jury was sworn in. Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Guido began presenting the state's case Monday, and closing arguments finished with Assistant Public Defender Nicole Mannon on Wednesday. After just over an hour of deliberations, the jury returned a verdict, finding Love guilty on all counts. Love must serve at least 6 years in prison for each Class X felony conviction and at least 4 years for his Class 1 felony conviction. All of his charges must be served consecutively at 85% and are not probation eligible. Love was immediately taken into custody following the verdict and is scheduled for sentencing at 1:30 p.m. June 25th. Mannon could not be reached for comment Thursday morning. And Central Illinois joins DEA Take Back Day. Several law enforcement agencies in Central Illinois are participating in the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day on April 26th. The free event will be held from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the following locations: the Bloomington Police Department on Southeast Street, the Normal Police Department on East Phoenix Avenue, the McLean County Sheriff's and Coroner's Officers on Front Street in Bloomington, Thomas Metcalf School with Illinois State University Police Department in Normal, the Danvers Police Department, the Lexington Police Department, Clinton Police Department, Leroy Police Department, Minier Police Department, Mackinac Police Department, Morton Police Department, Pekin and Washington Police Departments, the Tazewell County Justice Center in Pekin, and the Woodford County Sheriff's Office in Eureka. Take Back Day provides communities nationwide the opportunity to dispose of old and unneeded medications safely and anonymously, according to a news release. And for a full list of participating agencies and drop-off locations, you can visit DEA.gov/TakeBackDay. And this story says there is a free sourdough class in Clinton. University of Illinois Extension, in partnership with the Warner Hospital Wellness Center, will host an Unlock the Secrets of Sourdough class from 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday, May 8th. The free event will be held at the hospital on South Street in Clinton. This is the first in a monthly series presented by Illinois Extension in partnership with the Clinton Hospital, according to a news release. Participants will have the opportunity to gain a better understanding of the sourdough bread-making process and will leave with a list of resources to help continue their bread-making journey at home, the news release said. Those interested in attending are asked to pre-register at go.illinois.edu/warner or call 217-877-6042 by Monday, May 5th. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, April 25th, 2025. I look forward to reading part two with you next.